Good morning, Amazing Grace. Welcome to Amazing Grace. Let us pray. Lord, as I pray always, Lord, I just pray that you open our hearts and minds today as we are ready to receive your word, to receive your guidance, to receive your power and your strength and peace in our lives right now. With everything going on, Father, in the world and in our country, we just we thank you, Lord, that we have the blessed assurance that you go before us and that you live within us, Lord, and guide us and protect us. And we just praise you for that, Lord. We ask that you bless this message this morning that is all about being led by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, yep, that's what the sermon's all about. Amen. Being led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. And I hope and pray that being led by the Spirit is part of all of our spiritual lives today. Amen? And at this point in our text, we know that Timothy had just been circumcised. We talked about that. And they were going from town to town, right, to inform the churches of the decision that had been made at the council, right? And in doing so, the churches were being strengthened, it says. Amen? Churches were being strengthened in the faith, and they were growing in numbers. Not that we're counting, right? But they were growing in numbers, amen? And at this point, we can guess that it was Paul. Paul was deciding which direction they were going to go in, amen? Because Paul was the leader, amen? So he was going to decide what direction they were going, and that was until the Holy Spirit would intervene, amen? And the Holy Spirit was going to have something else to say about what direction they were going in. But before we get to the text, a little story about direction. There was once a division officer in the Navy, okay, who was also a naval aviator. And on his way home from a mission over Afghanistan, he got vertigo. Vertigo is where you get a dizzy, confused state, right? So he got vertigo, and his senses were confused, okay? He's flying in this jet, his senses are confused. The biggest sense that he was confused was his sense of flight. Amen? His sense of flight, which can be deadly when you're trying to land on an aircraft carrier at night in the middle of the ocean. Amen? You got to have all your senses about you, right? And so he thought his plane was flying upright. He was coming in for the landing, thought his plane was flying upright, but when he looked at the instruments, everything said that he was flying upside down. Right? So he thought he was coming in right, but his instruments were telling him something different. So everything he did was backwards according to the instruments, but in his mind, everything he was doing was correct. Amen? So he could follow what he thought was right in his mind, or he could depend on the instruments, right, which he knew were probably right. Amen? So he said overriding what he felt was right in his mind was the hardest thing for him to do. Going, you know, overriding what you think is the hardest thing for you to do sometimes. The struggle that took place in his mind was overwhelming to him, okay? So you can figure out what he depended on because he lived to tell the story, right? So we know that he depended on the instruments, amen? He followed through and he lived to tell the story. So our conscience, which is our learned past personal inventory or experience, right? Can be the hardest thing for us to overcome when we feel that we're right. Amen? We say, oh, I know I got this right. We're right. However, it's our relationship with God that will give us the true meaning of what is right and what is wrong. So the stronger our relationship with God is, the better. Amen? And our understanding as led by God through His Holy Spirit and His freedoms, mind you, freedoms, right, should be our way of life. That's true freedom, following Christ and letting the Holy Spirit lead us. Amen. Is true freedom in our lives. So the question today for us is who or what is leading us, right? Who or what is leading us? Because it can be any number of things. Amen. But if we're strong in our relationship with Christ, it should be the Lord. The Holy Spirit should be leading us into everything that we're trying to do in our lives. Amen. We'll get more into that, but so that leads us to our first verse. Verse 6 says, Paul and his companions had traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter through Bethania, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. So they have been kept from preaching by the Holy Spirit. Amen? They kept them from preaching in Asia, okay? Here's the map here. So this is Asia Minor, okay? This is where they're at right now. They're trying to go here first, then here. But the Lord is guiding them. Amen? The Lord is prompting them. Now, this is what they called Asia Minor. And this would be modern Turkey today, okay? And a major city of that region that we all know from one of the books in the Bible is Ephesus, right? Ephesus is a very important city in the New Testament. Amen? And it'd be a very important city to Paul because later on he's gonna establish a church there. Amen? But this wasn't the time for them to go there. Amen? And he's going to even write a letter to them that's going to be one of the most influential letters to the church he's ever written. Amen? That he would ever write. So the church in Ephesus right here would be so important to him that he would actually leave Timothy there, right? Timothy, he'd leave him there to watch over the church and guide the church. But at this time right now on his journey, Paul would say, okay, let's go to Asia, right? Let's go to Asia Minor. Let's go to Ephesus. But the Holy Spirit's going to say no. Amen? The Holy Spirit's going to say no. You're not going to be preaching here. Not today. They were doing things right, okay? They were doing things right. They were doing things for the church, and they were doing things right. They were preaching the truth of the gospel, and then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says no, right? So even when we're doing something right, it doesn't necessarily mean the Spirit's not going to lead us in a different direction, amen? And we'll see why. It wasn't the wrong thing for them to do, but the Holy Spirit was telling them not yet. Amen? He was saying, no, not yet. We're not ready for that. They're not ready for that yet. That part of the mission or the journey was going to be handled on God's timetable. And God's time is always perfect. Amen? So it was God's timing, not Paul's. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit, it says. You see, they went on a mission for God to a mission from God. Amen? I'm going to show you guys my next slide. How you like that, huh? They were on a mission from God. Amen? Blues Brothers. Sorry about that. This was and always is a wonderful thing. Amen? When the Holy Spirit is leading us, right? No matter who we are, right? It could have been a prophetic word that prompted them, or maybe some circumstance that prevented them from going the way they wanted to go. Amen? We're not exactly sure, but we do know that as they chose their path, God was going to guide their steps. Amen? God was going to guide their steps and kind of give them some detours. Amen? And I'm going to keep coming back to this map because I love this map, okay? Next slide, there we go. So in verse 7, it says, they try to enter Bethania right here, right? Okay? And then, but the Spirit of Jesus would again not allow them to enter. Okay? So once again, they were not allowed. The Spirit would not allow them to go southwest or northwest. Amen? Spirit wanted them to go this way. Amen? So they would head right down the middle to Troas. Amen? And there's a reason for that, and I'm going to tell you what that reason was. You see, Troas wasn't their first or their second choice. Amen? But it was the Holy Spirit's choice. It was the Holy Spirit's choice, and it was the Holy Spirit that was going to take them there. Amen? For many reasons. And it's the same thing in our lives. Amen? The Holy Spirit will guide us through many different choices that we make in life. Some choices are good, some are bad, and some are really bad. Amen? But the Holy Spirit's going to continue to guide us through all those choices when we follow Christ. Amen? And so this was the Holy Spirit directing the path of Paul and everyone else, okay? Just like he does for us when we need guidance, right? Sometimes God will literally tell us no, right? Nope, stop, right? But sometimes he'll just block our path, right? He'll put something in the way to detour us a little bit, right? He'll block our path because he already has something in store for us. God already knows the rest of the story. Amen? He already has a path for us. So thanks be to God for blocking our path and hindering us, especially when we're on the road to destruction where a lot of us have been. Amen? But God puts roadblocks. Amen? He puts up roadblocks for us to get back on the right path. Or maybe we're just doing things at the wrong time. Amen? Could be that we were just trying to do something at the wrong time. We're not ready for it yet. Or somebody else isn't ready for it yet. We weren't just placed on this planet, though, to stumble around in the darkness and try to figure it out ourselves. Amen? The God of the universe is interested in all of us. He's our creator. He wants to know. He loves us all. Amen? He's interested in all of us. He has a plan for us. He has a pathway for us. Okay? And the Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Amen? In all ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Amen? He will direct our paths. But we have to acknowledge him. We have to acknowledge him. Sometimes God will say no. Sometimes he's saying, maybe just not yet, right? And sometimes God will close, we talk about this all the time, right? He'll close a couple doors so he can open another one. Amen? So that's another way that he guides us through our life. The point is, when we're living our lives for Christ, the Holy Spirit's going to guide us. The Holy Spirit will guide us, and sometimes we don't even realize it. Amen? Sometimes we look at it later, right? Hindsight, right? Later on, we'll look at it and say, oh, that was the Holy Spirit guiding me. Amen? So we just continue to be guided as we follow Christ. And we get to verse 9 here, where they're getting ready to be guided again, okay? It says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, it says, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Right? They knew this was of God. Amen? This was not a vision of God. This was a vision from God. Amen? A vision from God. And God could have delivered this message weeks ago, before they even started out on this mission, right? But no, he waited, and sometimes we don't know why God wants to move or why God waits, but we got to trust in God's will that God's timing is perfect, amen? His timing is perfect. And so they would see this clear vision of what God now wanted them to do. Once again, he was going to tell them no. He's going to detour them once again, amen? And back to the map. He wanted them to go to the continent, okay, of Macedonia over here. Amen. This is the country of Macedonia. This is actually going to be Europe over here. Amen. This is Europe, okay? And this is where the message is going to reach the Greeks, but we'll talk about that in a minute. He wanted them to go to Macedonia. Paul had seen what he thought were strategic cities, right? Ephesus, Bethania, right? These were strategic cities Paul had seen, and he would head in their direction, but God was going to say no, right? God was going to say no. He would say, I want to give you more than just a couple of strategic cities. I want to give you a whole continent of Europe. Amen? A whole continent. And that country, of course, was Macedonia, amen, which would be the continent of Europe, which would reach the Greeks, okay? And I'll tell you why that's important. It was going to be biblical cities like Philippi, Thessalonica, and Corinth, right? These are some of the most famous cities in the Bible. Amen? That's where God was guiding them to. Amen? See the cities here? They had to come across the waters, amen, into Macedonia. So eventually they would reach, eventually going through all these cities and going to Europe, they would eventually reach the Americas, us, amen? And they would do that via the French and the Spanish, who were Europeans, right? And they would bring Catholicism, which was Christianity, amen? They would bring that to the Americas. And, of course, the pilgrims who had escaped religious persecution over in England, they would bring the gospel to America, amen? They would bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to America in the form of the Geneva Bible, okay, in 1620, when they landed at Plymouth Rock. Amen? They would bring the first translated Bible. And this is it right here. This is the Geneva Bible. Amen? It was the first Bible translated into English. okay? And this one was actually published in 1585. So we believe that might have been the same type of Bible that they brought with them when they landed on Plymouth Rock, amen, in 1620. So we in turn, because they went to Europe, would be inheritors of this mission that Paul and them were on, amen? So that was the guidance of the Holy Spirit, bringing the Word of God to the Americas eventually, amen? So praise God for His perfect timing and His perfect will. But back to the text, okay? Once again, verse 9 said, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, it says, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Remember, during the night, Paul had a vision from a man from Macedonia who would be begging him, amen, begging him to come to Europe to help them. You see, Paul didn't know this man in the vision, amen? He didn't know who it was, but he knew that it was a vision from God. He knew it was God guiding him and speaking to him, and Paul would listen, okay? Paul was going to listen, and this would be the best thing for Paul's continued work on this mission, amen? This was going to be the best thing for them and their course to go all through Europe, and what amazing churches would come out of this mission, right? Many amazing churches, and they would not hesitate the prompting of this vision. It says they would immediately go and not hesitate to follow the request of this vision. This is a reminder that God always has and still does have a mission field for all of us. Amen? And whether that, you know, there's a lot of work to be done in the kingdom. Your mission field may be right here in this church, right? In right here in our neighborhood, maybe, or in our state, right? For some, like Paul, they were called to be missionaries, right? Just like Brother Zippy last week. He's a missionary, amen? Amen? He's got a home church here in Arizona. He's got a home, but he's out there all over the country. He's a missionary, amen? That's what God has called him to do. And like my brother Big Al, Pastor Big Al, he's a missionary too, all over the Southwest. Amen? He's a missionary for the Indian churches. Or even those of you who go out in the mission fields of the streets, like Christina and Bags of Love, amen? And you guys who all participate in that type of ministry and go out there and serve the homeless, that's another mission field, amen? You got a home church, yeah, but your mission field is out there on Saturdays or on whatever day it is you want to do that, right? Amen? So God calls us all to different mission fields. And I wanted to mention something real quick. Speaking of serving the homeless, we got approved, thanks to Bianca. Is she in here? She's not in here. Bianca got us connected with Cloud Covered Streets, who does the showers and the haircuts and a new change of clothes for homeless. And we're going to start on the 15th of November. And we're going to be doing it every other Friday. They're going to come out, and they're going to give free showers, a change of clothes, and a haircut to as many homeless people that want to show up. Amen? So praise God for that, right? Amen. So, and if anybody wants to volunteer while they're here, it's going to be on Fridays. As soon as I get the times and everything and the flyer, I'll post it for you guys and show you an announcement. But if anybody wants to help, they can help as well. Amen? Whatever that looks like. But they said bring as many people as you can. And, so that's going to be beautiful. Amen? So I said, well, we got plenty of people that know plenty of people that can bring plenty. So we'll make sure you got enough people. I said, we like to have at least 30. I said, we'll get there. We'll get there real quick, I'm sure. Amen? And then we're working on some other stuff too, but God's working. Amen? God's working. Praise God. And so God has a mission for each of us. Amen? He has a mission for each of us as followers of Christ. And if you're not sure what that mission is yet, pray about it. Amen? Pray about it and ask God, and He'll tell you. He'll show you what He has in store for you. Because sometimes, also, we may be in a comfort zone. Amen? God will take us out of that comfort zone as well. Amen? And He'll show us what He has for us, what He has for us to do to serve those that are most in need. Because there's a lot of people in need. Amen? A lot of people in need. And so what better call or commission is there than to be led by the Holy Spirit? To be led, and that's any of us. Any of us and all of us. So when the Lord calls out, as he did to Isaiah, when he says, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" If you're ready and you feel called, you should say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Amen? "Here I am, Lord, send me." People say, "How did you get from being a Christian drummer for church on the street in a dirt lot out in South Phoenix to being a senior pastor of a church?" And I said, "Because I always answered the Lord, send me. You know, yes, here I am," right? I never turned God down as he guided me and gave me things to do for the kingdom. Amen? And that's for any of us, right? That's for any of us. It can be a lot of work, but, you know, it's a labor of love, right? I say that all the time. It's a labor of love. So continue to say yes to the Lord, and who knows what he'll do in your life. Amen? So before we move on to Philippi, I just want to bring one more thing to your attention. In verse 10, we saw that the narrator, if you will, okay, the one that was writing this, the doctor and a disciple, Luke, amen? For the first time, he goes from speaking in the third person to speaking in the first person. Amen? And he says, "We got ready to leave at once." And my wife was reading that, and she goes, who's narrating this now? And I said, "It's still Luke." And she says, "Yeah, but it says we." I said, "I know, because he's joining them at this point." Amen? Luke joins them, and you can see by his change in speech, he's going to join them in their mission, not just as a fellow missionary, amen, but as their personal physician as well. He's a doctor, amen. We know Paul had been having some health issues. He had been beaten almost to death, amen. So I'm sure they could use a physician with them as well, amen. So Dr. Luke was going to join them from this point. But of course, Luke would find his calling as well when they reached Philippi, and he would end up staying there to lead the church in Philippi. Amen? And but Paul would continue on, okay? And maybe this is why God prevented them from preaching in Bethania, right? They had an appointment to get to, right? They had someone they had to meet up with. They had to meet up with Luke in Troas. Amen? So they could move on. Luke would be waiting for them. Paul had no idea what God was up to. Amen? He just knew that he was going to listen to what God had for him, right? So he had no idea what God was up to, but he was going to trust him. And in doing so, he would not only bring Luke into the mission, but he would give them a whole new continent, right, to witness to. Amen? A whole continent to witness to. Paul would meet Luke at Troas, and that's where the vision would come, right? The vision of Macedonia, because God was ready to send them both and use them both, along with Silas and Timothy. And then back to my map once again. So God had sent them, okay? God had sent them, and they're leaving right here, okay? And verse 11 says, "From Troas," right here, "they put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace," right? "And the next day they went to Neapolis. And from there, they traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony." So they're coming all around here, right? "And the leading city of the district of Macedonia, and they stayed there for several days." So they're right here, amen? So the four of them, they were going to get on a boat, they're going to go across the sea to Macedonia, and they're going to stop. And from there, the next day at Neapolis, and then to Philippi, a leading city of Macedonia. They had gone there to do some major work for the kingdom of God. Amen? And they had gone there to start a church. That's what they did, right? So where was the first place that Paul would go to speak when he arrived in a new town? Anybody remember that? What was the first place he would always go? The synagogue, right? The church, amen? The synagogue. That's right. But guess what? There's no synagogue in Philippi. Amen? When he gets there, he's like, where's the synagogue at? There's no synagogue, amen? And what that meant was that there was less than 10 Jewish men in the city, okay? The Great Commission hadn't reached Europe yet, amen? There was very few believers in Europe because There wasn't 10 Jewish men in the city, okay? So that's why they didn't have a synagogue. The Jewish custom or the regulation of that day was you had to have 10 or more Jewish men, okay, in the city in order to have a synagogue. And actually, it was a requirement once you had more than 10 that you had to have a synagogue, amen, to go pray at. And so if there was no synagogue, then the Jewish people, whoever was there, the believers would have to gather somewhere else to pray. Amen? So that's what they were doing. Amen? So maybe even in their homes. A lot of the early church started in people's homes. Amen? That's where they held church, in their homes. So that's how the early church did most of their worship too. And so they went searching for believers and for their place of prayer. And in verse 13 it says, on the Sabbath, okay, where they would normally be going to the synagogue, they went outside the city gates to the river. Okay, it says, where we expected to find a place of prayer, we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, and we'll get to that too. She was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. You see, just like I said, there was no synagogue, amen? So there was no service, right? There's no service to go speak at. But these women, they were going to step it up, and they're going to go down to the river, like the song says, to pray. Amen? They're going to go down to the river to pray. And as they're praying, this rabbi named Paul comes walking up in all of his garb, right? He's a rabbi. They're not used to seeing this. Amen? And I'm sure he was a sight for sore eyes for them, right, as they prayed. And so Paul walks up. He'd meet this woman named Lydia, who it says was a dealer in purple cloth, right? And if Kim was here, I'd say that she's probably a dealer in purple cloth too, but she didn't come today. But anyways. Now, anyone in that time, okay, this is the point, that was a seller of purple cloth dealt in a very valuable commodity. Amen? Purple cloth and the stuff that the dyes that were used to make it were very expensive. So only rich people with well-to-do people had purple cloth. Amen? So she was obviously a wealthy woman if she was dealing. Most people that deal in high-dollar stuff have high dollars. Amen? So she was a wealthy woman, okay? And both in money and, I guess, in spirit. Amen? Because she's leading the people in a prayer down by the river. Amen? Because they have no synagogue. So she's wealthy in money, wealthy in faith. She has all this money, but apparently she's one of the first converts, too, in Europe. Amen? So she's a believer, all part of God's glorious plan. Okay? All part of His plan. And then it says that the Lord would open her heart to respond to Paul's message. The first thing the Holy Spirit does is He guides us, right? He leads us, He guides us. And then the second thing that says the Spirit does is He opens the hearts and minds of everyone to receive His word, to receive His power, to receive His message. And that's why very often you hear me pray before a sermon, Lord, open our hearts and minds to receive Your word today. Amen? Because That's the job of the Spirit, amen, to open our hearts and minds so we can receive His word and His power. And we also have to recognize, though, that there are people, okay, there's people here in church every Tuesday, Wednesday, and even on Sundays who aren't quite ready to receive the Holy Spirit yet, amen? Maybe they're new visitors. Maybe they just walked in the door. Maybe that's why we always say keep coming back, right? This is our thing we use for Celebrate Recovery, right? Keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you're all worth it. Amen? You don't have to throw in the last part. But that's why we say keep coming back, because people aren't always ready right out the gate, amen, or right in the gate, I should say. People aren't always ready. And so we say keep coming back, so when you are ready, the Lord will open your heart and your mind to receive His word, to receive His message. And He will change you. Amen? God is good. God is very patient with us. Praise God for that. Amen? He's patient with us all. And today just might be the day for that breakthrough for you. Amen? I don't know. But maybe it is your day for your breakthrough. All we have to do is believe. So thank You, Jesus. Amen? All we got to do is believe. And you know, if you know someone, or maybe thinking about coming to church, amen, then pray for them, right? The best thing we can do for them is to pray for them. And maybe give them a ride if they don't have a ride. But pray for them, amen? Intercessory prayer is very powerful. The most important thing we can do for a new believer is to pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that God will open their hearts and change their lives today. And Corrie Ten Boom wrote, she said, "We never know how God will answer our prayers, but we can expect that He will get us involved in His plan for the answer. If we are true intercessors praying for other people, we must be ready to take part in God's work on behalf of the people for whom we pray." Right? God uses us. He performs His miracles through us, amen, to help others get closer to Christ, to pray for others, amen. We pray for others in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. James 5:16, King James Version says, "Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Our prayers are powerful, amen. As believers in Christ, as a body of Christ, we pray for others in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because through intercessory prayer, the Lord can change even the hardest of hearts. He can and He will. So now the Lord had opened Lydia's heart enough to respond to Paul's message. Amen? And in verse 15, our last verse, it says, "When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. So right off the bat, amen, they're baptized. Her household was baptized. The Lord had opened the hearts of Lydia and her household, and the evidence of their conversion was the fact that they were immediately baptized. Right? That's the evidence of our conversion, right? That's one of the most powerful and important expressions of our faith, especially as new believers, that we are baptized. Amen? That we are baptized. And then it says she would start to serve, right? Immediately start to serve. Isn't it amazing how when God enters our hearts, we go from get to give. Amen? He changes our hearts, and it makes us feel good to give and to help others. Amen? That's part of being in the body of Christ. I've witnessed that in so many people in the church. And I've witnessed that in myself. Amen? God changes us to do and pray for others. And being selfless and generous grows stronger and stronger as our faith grows stronger. And it's so amazing. God is so good to give us that heart of flesh, amen, that we were created for. We weren't created for that heart of stone. We were created for a heart of flesh that loves others and does for others. Amen? And so that great commission that's supposed to be spread to the ends of the earth, it's going to enter this new fertile ground of Macedonia. But Paul's work is just getting started. Amen? It seems like he's done a lot already, but he's just getting started. And so everything is looking good for Paul, looking good for Luke, right? Looking good for Silas, Timothy, Lydia, at least for a little while, okay? They're in a good place right now. But next week, Paul and Silas, they're going to be invited to a different house. Amen? The big house, as some of us like to call it, right? Amen? They're going to be invited to the big house. But the Spirit of God was going to lead them there as well. Amen? He was going to lead them. And I've heard many people say some that are even in jail right now, that the Spirit of God worked through them and in them while they were in jail. Amen? To reach others. And we, of course, we know he did that with Paul many times. Amen? Well, we're going to see that next week. We're going to talk about that next week. And just a reminder to all of us, amen, to be mindful and prayerful of God's guidance in your life. Because even if we think we're doing everything right, God may have another plan. God may have another direction. But we have to be in tune with the Lord in order for us to receive that. Amen? All right, let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this message. We thank you for your guidance, Father God, even when we think we're doing everything right, Lord, that that your will and your timing and your guidance is perfect, always perfect. And Lord, we just pray that you use us all in any way that you deem necessary, any way that you can, Father God. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we fall short, and just continue to protect us, watch over us, Lord. We thank you that for your guidance in the early church, Lord, that brought the gospel to us in the Americas, and we praise you, Lord. We praise you for every blessing, for every healing, all the miraculous answers to prayer in this church, Lord, and in the world. And we just lift up all those struggling, all those in war right now. And we lift up our country to you, Lord. Guide us, protect us, and watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.